Matthew 25. Man, I tell you, if it gets any better being saved, I'm going to be like Seventh-day Adventists. We're going to have church 7 days a week. Amen. Thank God. I don't know why they'd want to even go to church. They ain't got no Jesus to praise. Amen. Don't get mealy mouth on me now. Amen. Y'all ought to act like you're in Walmart or something when you're at church and say something. You down there all excited about them. Let me tell you, Walmart ain't the saving place, honey. Amen. Well, Matthew 25, the Bible said, then shall the kingdom. Oh, I'm glad there's a kingdom. Said it's a kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 were wise, 5 was foolish. They were foolish, took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Here's a word I'm interested in. And at midnight, there's a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh. Thank you for standing this morning. You may be seated. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. If correctly read, that's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. We dealt last Sunday in the book of Exodus on the midnight redemption. Jesus said, there's going to be a cry made at midnight like no other in all the land. He said, I'm going to destroy all the male children and the firstborn, all the way from the White House to the little house. He said, it's not going to be a house in the nation that's not touched. But he said, I've got a policy, I've got a procedure, I've got a program. He said, if you'll take the blood and put it at your house, said, when I come by, I'll pass over you when I see the blood. So we've seen there's a midnight redemption. I'm glad in this late hour people can still be saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptists will let you die and go to hell in your religion. You can be baptized, every catfish in the pond knows your name. But honey, if you've ever been placed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said your sins would be gone. Your sins would be covered. And I thank God for that Bible truth today on a midnight redemption. But this morning we notice in verse number 6 of Matthew 25, the Bible said at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Now I want to preach on this thought this morning. Here we find a midnight return. A midnight return. We're preaching on messages at midnight. There's a few times in the Bible where God listed the word midnight, a dark hour. My, have you ever seen an hour this dark in America? I mean, isn't it amazing, honey? Let me tell you something. Hillary, Obama, McCain, you put anybody where they're going to sit by election day, that's not going to cure America. Honey, if God don't help America, America's not going to get any help. And so we find here there is a message at midnight. It's a message about a return. And I want you to look in verse number 1. There's a meeting expected. The Bible said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. There's a meeting expected. I want to tell you, I'm expecting a meeting. The Lord Jesus shall return Himself. The Bible said with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, I'm glad it brings me comfort this morning to know in the midnight hour Jesus is coming. Thank God He could come before I get done of preaching this. Praise God. Wouldn't it be a blessing? You get to go and miss the buffet line this morning. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I don't even have to pay your power bill at the end of the month. Just walk out and say, well, cut the power off, glory to God. We've gone home. Oh, my, what a blessed thought. I'm hell. I just wish I closed my Bible and leave on now. Thank God Jesus is a-coming. You say, you really believe that? Oh, yeah. Ain't much here got me tied down. The reason y'all don't want Jesus to come, you got too much of holding you down here. But honey, Abraham said that he looked for a city where the builder and maker was God. He never looked for it down here. You know why? He was looking for a place that had foundations. There's nothing here with foundations. No matter what the Jehovah Witness tell you, this is all the hell you'll never know. That's a lie out of hell this morning, friend. Matter of fact, if you lost without Christ, this is the only heaven you'll ever know. And so this morning we see here there was a great meeting expected. We see the meeting announced. He said that there's going to come a bridegroom. And then there's a meeting arranged. He said He's coming. And then there's a meeting anticipated. The Bible said there was 10 virgins took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The meeting anticipated. I'm going to tell you something. We're all going to meet the Lord. We're all going to meet Him. And isn't it amazing? Ever since I was a little child, I've been heard about Jesus coming. Guess what? It's still true. This ain't the Reader's Digest, honey. It's the King James Bible. You know, every independent preacher, they need a little vibe from the audience. They just mention the King James Bible and, amen! Thank God, I'm glad it's still our Bible of the day. And I don't need an NIV. Non-inspired version. I don't need no kind of perversion. I've got the truth. I got problems living out of this. You say, well, I can't read and understand this Bible. You're not supposed to unless you say. So, there's a meeting expected, a meeting announced, a meeting arranged, and a meeting anticipated. I am anticipated. Can you imagine when we see Jesus? My goodness. I mean, how He come in and moved on the choir singing this morning in our Sunday school out of the way God moved. But can you imagine when we get to see Him? I mean, the meeting expected. We see it's arranged and it's anticipated. I'm going to tell you, I have never been this longing. I've never been this homesick before. And we see this meeting expected. And secondly, we see a message exclaimed. In verse number 1, I want you to see about this message exclaimed. There is virgins. Said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be like to 10 virgins. All were virgins. All were pure. All had godly character. On the outside, I mean, man, they was goody two-shoes. I mean, they had no bad testimony in the community or the church. I mean, the Bible spoke that they were virgins. Message exclaimed. Not only does it speak about virgins, but there's a message about variations. In verse number 2, there's only 2 categories. He said 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now I'm going to tell you the way the world thinks. The world thinks of categories. There's black and there's white. There's rich and there's poor. There's educated and uneducated. But God says there's only one category. Lost and saved. Wise and foolish. Matter of fact, this word foolish, I looked it up in the Greek. You know what it means? Foolish. It means don't laugh.
I don't want you to laugh. It means moron.
Did you know that if you walk out of this life without Jesus, you're a foolish person? You say, well, I've got a lot of wisdom and I've got a nice degree and I've lived years and years and I've done all right preaching. That's fine. But there's coming a payday someday. And the Bible said that not only were there virgins, but there were variations that is coming. And then we notice in verse number 3, this message, not only is there virgins and variations, but there is what the Bible calls vessels. Vessels. They were foolish, took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. All right, there's a meeting expected, but there's a message exclaimed. These vessels, it was something different in these variations of people. They all had a lamp that would burn. They all had lamps. Matter of fact, the problem was the lamps went out to 5. And 5, they kept burning. How come? It was an oil problem. It was a vessel. Now, I want to tell you something. We all have a vessel. But what changes us in categories is, in some of these vessels, oil is inside. In the Bible, oil is always a representation of the Holy Ghost of God. And everybody in this building, it's one of two categories. Either you've got oil in you, the Holy Ghost lives in you, or He don't live in you. And I want to show you a great representation to know if He really lives in you or not. Now, I want you to notice on the scheme of things, at the look of things, everybody looked alike till the dark hour. Man, everybody looked just like everybody else. I mean, we can look around this morning and we come in and we look and we say, well, everybody looks like one category to me. No, there's two categories here. There's one that's ready to meet Christ and have accepted Him as their Savior. Their sins are gone, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Heaven is your home. And it's another crowd that you're lost and undone. God's never moved in your vessel. You may have a knowledge of Jesus. We live in a day of really Phariseeism, easy believism. To say this prayer, why, you believe in Jesus, don't you? Friend, over half of America believes in Jesus. Belief in Jesus ain't going to get you to heaven. Your life's got to change. You've got to repent of your sins, friend. There's got to be a day that you got lost and you needed a Savior. You turned to Him and something happened to you. You say, I don't believe it, preacher. Then you don't believe our Bible. There's two categories, and it all has to do with this one key element. Oil in a vessel. Oil in a vessel. Now, I want you to notice in this great teaching, this parable that Christ wrote, there's a meeting expected, and there's a message exclaimed. But then there's a midnight examined. Verse number 6, we have this category of people now, and it's coming up to the message. The Bible said in verse number 6, and at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They all had a lamp, they all were shining. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've raised my children in church ever since they've been brought in this world. Matter of fact, you could probably count on the hands that my children has not been taken to church until they reached 18, 19 years old. You could probably count on these hands the Sundays that they missed in 18 years. And we find that, and I feel like I raised good children, but Miss Flo, I can't give them my oil. They can't get in on what their daddy preaching 20 years has done. And they can't get in as good of a mama as they got in the state of Georgia. She can't get them in. Something's got to be different to get us in. We're individuals. We've got to be saved individually by the grace of God. Now, something happened. We find here in this passage that there is a midnight examine. In verse number 6, there was a cry at midnight.
Have you ever noticed some of your best sleep is at midnight? Now, I wake up about 1:30 every night. If you're going to break in on me, don't break in at 1:30, honey. I got something waiting on you. But 12 o'clock, I'll sleep through the whole scenario. Because about 11 o'clock, it's lights out. And I sleep sound right through midnight. And isn't it amazing how America's sleeping right through this midnight? It's never been this dark before. And honey, there's a great cry that's a-coming. Jesus said at midnight, He was coming in a time that nobody knew. When you expected it the least is when He was a-coming. You know, some folks broke in on us one time. We was gone. And they had never would have broke in our house if I'd known they was coming. Now, I just got that much country boy left in me. I'm telling you, when God saved me, He saved all my soul, but He didn't get this flesh. And so there was a cry made at midnight. So notice this cry. It was a great surprise. And then in verse number 6, not only a cry, but it was a call. The Bible said at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. You're not going to meet me that day. You're not going to stand before the association press. You're going to stand before the King of Kings. The King is coming. Not only was it a cry, it was a call. Let me ask you something. When this call goes forth, are you coming out of this place? The Bible said, For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those in the cemeteries that have been saved, they're going to come up. They're going to get a new body. That soul is coming up. It's going to be united with that body. They're going to go home to be with the Lord. And we're going to see all this. Then we're going up. How fast is that going to happen? In a moment of a twinkling of an eye. It's all goes like that. Now, I wonder if that would have happened last night, how many would come down here this morning? I wonder how many would have really walked in this place today and said, well, aren't they having church today? Where's our preacher? Where's that white avalanche today? He's not here. He out preaching somewhere? Oh, yeah, I'd be somewhere. I wouldn't be here hanging on, honey. So there's a great cry at midnight. There's a call at midnight. Jesus said He was going to call us out in the midnight hour. Said, go ye out to meet Him. But then in verse number 7, this is what I want you to see tonight. Maybe to clear up some things this morning. The Bible said, Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And a foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be enough for us and you. But go rather to them that sell and buy for themselves. Now the midnight examine. We see the cry and the call, but I want you to see what I just read. There's a great contrast. It's a great contrast. The Bible speaks exclusively that the lamps had gone out. Why? Why all of a sudden when at the darkest hour their lamp wouldn't shine no more? Have you ever wondered why some people say that they got saved and they hooped and hollered a few weeks and a few weeks church is good, but all of a sudden when things got a little rough and rocky, where'd they go? I've wondered about that, Pastor. And Brother Randall really has. I mean, it's really bothered me, Pastor. I'd see people come and make professions. And then, I mean, I'd shout and rejoice with them, and 3 weeks FBI couldn't find them. I want to show you something that I studied out this morning. And boy, it sure will help you if you'll get a hold of it. Turn with us, if you would, over in Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew 13. We're talking about a great contrast of people. They all had lamps, but all of a sudden somebody's lamp went out. So in Matthew chapter number 13 and in verse number 20, here is the great parable of the seeds. I hope God will let me study these out and preach them sometime because I only got to look at this briefly, but I want to share it with you. The Bible said in Matthew 13 and number 20, But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and a nun. That word is straightway or immediately, right then, with joy received it. Hooray! Yeah! Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended, or he falls away. Now, isn't it amazing here, this great contrast of people? Everybody looked like they had a lamp, but something was wrong. It quit burning. And I'm going to tell you, the reason that people don't continue with Christ, they have no root. Oh, they took it for a little while. See, now, I told you a while ago, you will not get to heaven simply by believing. You know why? Because the Bible said that the devils in hell believe and tremble. They believe there's a Jesus. You think the devil's going to heaven? No, sir. There's got to be a change. There's got to be a place and a time. Now, let me tell you what happens. This is emotion. People sometime they'll come and they'll make a little old profession of faith. And everything's feel good and everything's rosy, lovey-dovey. I've heard Brother Gerald say before, well, so-and-so gets saved. He'll say, well, time will tell. It will tell. You see, let me tell you something. It wouldn't. The sun is a root problem. The Bible said the sun come up and it scorched it and it withered away. And as soon as it popped up, as soon as it went out. You know why? It never took hold of nothing. Here this parable that Jesus taught was in the eastern land. And what it was talking about was a little bit of soil right on top of a rock. Any of you ever tried to plant a tomato plant right on top of a rock? Hey, it'll do pretty good a few days. But when them roots can't grab a hold and that sun goes to shining, you'll find out it had a root problem. And I'm going to tell you, people hunt excuses after excuses after excuses. I don't like that preacher down there. He runs and cries and hollers. Won't stay in a pulpit. Won't keep his coat on. We stand at home. What's that got to do with being saved? Well, I thought this Jesus y'all was talking about would pay all my bills and everything would be lovey-dovey and rosy-rosy. Yeah, yeah. That ain't the Jesus of this Bible. He said when the sun got up, their lamps went out. And here in the midnight, ain't it amazing? Their lamp shined while it was daylight. And the lamp shined pretty good till hard times, their darkest hour hit. Then you'll find out who's got it. You think this man feels like being at church today with 13 broke ribs? I'd say he's got some roots somewhere. I'm going to tell you, honey, you better know you got oil in your vessel. Only you can know what the Holy Ghost lives in you. Let me ask you something. Can you dismiss church flippantly? Can you just hit or miss? The other day that storm come, we called church off Sunday night. Sunday morning, I felt like a buzzard because I wasn't in church. Yeah. Well, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. Does the Word of God thrill you? Does the Spirit of God ever commune with you? The Bible says if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. What happened to these preachers? I'll tell you what they do. They come down, they made a profession. Felt good. That's a thing to do. Everybody said, do it, do it, do it. Make a profession. But it wasn't no Holy Ghost in it. The Bible said in John 6:44, no man comes to me except the one that sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Friend, Jesus died for all. Jesus died for you no matter who you are, what you've done, how long you've been doing. But you've got to come while the Spirit of God is drawing you to the throne of grace. Or you will not come. People's made profession. Well, we all know we ought to make some preparation. But let me ask you something this morning. Is God dealing with you? Not as this preacher getting on your nerves and upsetting you. But is God, the Holy Ghost, dealing with you? I'm going to tell you something. When you get saved, you can't do what you used to do. You may go back and dabble in it, but you sure won't be comfortable doing it. And so I'm telling you this morning, we see this great message examined at midnight. There was a cry. There was a call, and there was a great contrast. You see, they do not go long in the profession of faith, before they find the reason to depart. Hebrews 6, verse number 4. Hebrews 6 and verse number 4. The Bible speaks of that. There's been a lot of confusion about this verse in Baptist churches. But in Hebrews 6 and number 4, talks that, "For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost," not to dwellers, but partakers. In other words, the Holy Ghost enlightened them and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. "If they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, sin, to crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame." In other words, honey, you better come in the light while you got light, lest darkness suddenly find you. The Holy Ghost can stimulate your mind, open your mind. But I want to ask you something today. Has there ever been a time He's opened your heart? That He's opened your heart, the Word of God come in and made something new out of you. And let me ask, have you got peace this morning to meet God? Most important, to have peace. I'm glad I got peace. Are you perfect, preacher? No, but I've got peace. Let me tell you how I got saved. I was minding my own business. I was just minding my own business. I've had a great time. I was doing things that I'm ashamed to tell you I was doing. But I was having a good time. But all of a sudden, something happened. I got around a church where they was preaching the Bible. And the Holy Ghost started dealing with me. And it bothered me. I could be out in my yard. I could be out any place, and God would just deal with me. Just that churning inside. Just dealt with. I was troubled. Best word I know is I was just troubled. And if somebody mentioned something about the rapture, it terrified me. I'd never heard that. But for me to think my wife was getting out of this place and me leaving all this turmoil made me think. I got to thinking, now, I'm going to wake up one day and my children are gone, my wife's gone. I've never been saved. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So God began to deal with me. And it seemed like the more intense it got so bad I was miserable. And I wanted a change. And let me tell you something. I can preach all day long. And I can plead and cry, come, come. But till you genuinely want a change, you'll not get saved. You've got to get lost before you can get found. The Bible said, few be there that find it. You better know this oil's in your vessel. Preacher, how can I know it's in there? Do you like preaching? Do you like praying? Do you like the family of God? Or is it just like going to reunion and you can't hardly wait to get home? Man, that choir singing, didn't you notice how them folks there was saved singing, how they enjoyed being here? They enjoyed singing. You know why? The Holy Ghost lives in them. You know why I enjoy preaching? Because the Holy Ghost lives in them. If another man was preaching and the Holy Ghost was there, I'd enjoy preaching. Because the Holy Ghost lives in me. So this morning we see this midnight hour, and we see that it's examined. And then in verse 9, not only is there a contrast, but there's a conclusion. And this, I'll be honest with you, when I was studying this out, it nearly knocked me out of my chair in the study. I felt something that I'd never felt in a long time when I was reading what I'm fixing to close with. The Bible said in Matthew 25, verse number 9, there's a conclusion. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now notice this. They knew where the oil was. They knew who had the oil. Them that didn't have it knew who had the oil. I remember one night I went over here to Brother David, a little church in Heard County, Macedonia. An old fellow got up and he went to testify. He scared me slammed to death. I'm telling you, that old man absolutely terrified. But I knowed he had something, Brother David, that I didn't have, that I needed, and really I wanted it. I knew who had the Spirit of God. And so these, that their lamps went out, knew who had it. They went to them and said, "We can't give it to you. We can tell you about it, but we can't give it to you." And so then we see this conclusion. We see the meeting expected, the message exclaimed, the midnight examined, but lastly this morning, the moment experienced. Moment experienced. In verse number 10, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready..." That word right there jumped off the pages of my Bible. Ready. "Went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh.'" Now I want to close with these thoughts this morning on this moment experience. First of all, there was an obvious date. The bridegroom came, and he came in the darkest times. You know, Jesus said, "In the last days, perilous times shall come. It shall wax worse and worse." It's here. It's here. Me and you thought we'd never see what we've seen in the last 20, 25 years. It's amazing. It's amazing what's going on around us this morning. It's amazing. And in this moment experience is an obvious date. And then verse 10, there's an open door right now. The Bible said, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage." What a blessing to be able to go in. What a blessing that there's a door open today that you can be saved. What a blessing. I mean, what a blessing to know that there's a door and I've got an option. And so it's my option. If I want to sit down, and if I want to take my chances, then I'm going to lose. But there's a door. I've got an option. Jesus Christ is the door. He's not some way. He's the only way. And so we see this time. This an obvious date, and there was an open door. But then in verse number 10, all of a sudden something happens, and the door was shut. There's an overwhelming doom. Do you remember in the days of Noah? Matter of fact, Jesus said, "As in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." They were eating and drinking, giving in marriage, acting crazy, just the way our world is. And all of a sudden, they'd laughed at that old preacher for 120 years. He had been a preaching every Sunday. He had been preaching, 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 preaching. Storm's coming. Jesus is coming, y'all. Storm's coming. Get ready. And all of a sudden, I don't know what time it was, but I can tell you this, it was a dark hour. All of a sudden, they felt something they'd never felt. It started raining. It had never rained. That old preacher said it's coming. Well, the floods descended. The waters rose. Noah said he was the eighth person saved. Why did it say that? Why did it say he's the eighth person? Noah had been preaching for 120 years. Miss Noah, his sons and wives all went in, and Noah stepped back. And I believe with all my heart, he turned around and he said, "Surely somebody else will come. Surely somebody else has heard my preaching, and they'll come in this ark." But the Bible said they didn't, and Noah walked in, and God shut the door. And let me tell you something, friend. When God shuts the door, you'll not get in. And you say whatever you want to say. At the end of the deal is this. You get in an open door and a shut door, you don't get in. There was an overwhelming doom. Imagine the laughing stopped that day. Go on and laugh and make your little remarks about that preacher down there is crazy and that whole church is crazy. But you remember this. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He died that you may have life, but you've got to do your part. You've got to trust Him to save you. Obvious doom. Could you imagine? And then the official denial. He said, I don't know you. I never knew you. Didn't he say that before? They said, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful names? And he said, hang on a minute. I never did know you. No, they didn't get saved and lost. They never got saved. He said, I never knew you. And then this is the last remark I make. I'm going to... This official denial. In verse number 5, he said, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. He's tarrying. He's tarrying today. He's tarrying his coming. In other words, he's waiting back to give you a chance. Now, let me ask you something. What's going to keep you from being saved today? Pride? Is your heart doing this? You know what that is? That's God knocking. If you're ready this morning, you can go in. I'm not going to pull you. I'm not going to play on your emotions. I just simply want to say, do you want to be saved by the grace of God? You can be saved today because He loves you. He said all that would come to Him, He would in no wise cast out. I don't care how long you've been doing it. I don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus can wash you clean. But you've got to come by faith as a little child and accept what He's done for you individually. Let that oil go in your vessel. Let your light shine. And then in your dark hour, you'll have what it takes to get through. All over the house. I want you to stand, Christians. I want you to pray.